Hallelujah. I wrote this down because I wanted to be sure and not forget it. Times are changing, and the world says you got to change with the times. Yes, seasons of life change, but the truth of God's Word never changes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now, God's up to something tonight. There's always an anointing in this place, but there's a special anointing in here tonight. Oh, it's so real, so true. Hallelujah. So let's just be quick to hear and obey the Lord. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I want to read one verse in Psalms 119. We'll do Matthew 24 first. Matthew 24, verse 35. And then we're going to go to Psalms 119, verse 89. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. When you're there, say amen. Hallelujah. Notice red letter, Jesus is teaching here, and he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Come on, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now look at Psalms 119, verse 89. Psalms 119. Verse 89. If you're there, say amen. Forever. How long?
Forever,
O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay. You know, we're creatures of habit. We like things a certain way, and we like to do things a certain way. But you and I, we need to know that God is the God of the new. He's the God of the fresh. And how many in here has got lost loved ones, lost friends that you're crying over? Your heart's breaking. You're believing God to do a miracle. I think that's every one of us. Amen. We're wanting to see a work in our family, in this community. Tonight, if we'll hear this word, me and Donna, we were up into the morning hours. We were praying in the Spirit, listening to God. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost, gave us three words. Three words that you and I need to apply tonight. And those three words are that you and I, we've got to teach, we've got to train, and if we'll teach and train, we're going to see the enemy toppled. Yeah. Teach, train, and topple. And every one of us, we want to see the enemy toppled out of our family, out of our friends, out of our loved ones. So I want you to do something that's going to be uncomfortable tonight. I want you to do this. I'm not just saying this. I feel led to do this. Whoever you're believing for to come to these truths and these realizations where they can have the enemy toppled out of their life, I want you to, by faith, get up out of your chair and sit in another chair, and I want you to say, Lord, I'm sitting here in this loved one's place. And I want you to, as you're feeding me this word in this new place, I want this to come, and I want it to be ministered through my life into their life. And then sit there for the remainder of the service in faith. And now you get with me and you help me on this, because when we leave here, you're going to know supernaturally by the Spirit of God how to topple the enemy out of your family's life. Do you believe that this word is alive?
Yes.
Do you realize that you can bring the prophetic word to pass in your life and in your household, you can do it. Amen? All right, let's see what the Holy Ghost said. Now, you heard what Jesus said. He said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but he said, my words, they shall not. So why would we want to live by any other word, any other circumstance, other than the word of the Lord? Amen? He said, my words are eternal. So tonight, you and I, we're in a world that is changing. We're in a world that is all sorts of things is happening. The enemy is doing many things, but we have the opportunity to hear by the Spirit of God words that will cause us to be taught, where we can become teachers, cause us to be trained, where we can train others, and cause us to have every enemy toppled out of our life, where we can be used to topple the enemy out of others. Amen? So let's see some things. Now, in Psalms 119, you notice that this is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms, the longest book, but Psalms 119, the longest chapter, and it's divided into 22 sections. And each section is a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. It just so happens here, as we start with this 89th verse, that this section starts with Lamed. Lamed, it is the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The number 12 in Bible numerics means how to have governmental perfection, how to be ruled and how to reign. Be ruled by Jesus, to reign in Jesus. Amen? So tonight, if you want your life to be under the authority of the Word of God and your household, and if you want to have that assurance and that confidence, all you have to do is to apply this truth of this Word. Amen? All right, so let's see what he said. He said, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. In other words, right now, from heaven, as God looks down at your life, he sees you, and he sees you complete in Jesus Christ. Remember, we covered it this morning. The book of Colossians told us that. So you are complete in Jesus Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees that. And when God looks at your household, he sees your household coming through your witness, through your testimony, coming into the saving grace, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, God is looking at the end of all of this. He's not looking from your perspective, my perspective. He's looking at you and I walking in obedience, yielding to the Spirit of the Lord, and believing God's Word and saying, wait a minute, God's got this thing settled. From heaven, he sees me saved. He sees me healed. He sees me delivered. He sees my family, my friends, my co-workers, whoever you're believing for tonight, he sees this. And so I've got to start saying, Lord, it's settled. It's settled. There is no addiction in my family. There is no controlling spirit in my family, in my community, in my sphere of influence. There's only Jesus Christ. Amen? It's settled. It's settled. None of my family, none of my friends, they're going to come to salvation. They're going to come to deliverance because my God is a God that is proactive. My God, your God is a God that is working and moving in their life. So let's see this. Now, he said that forever that his word was settled. Now, this word lamed, it is a Hebrew word. It's not just a letter. It's a word, and it means to goad. Now, we've all, you know, driven animals, you know. When we used to help Papa Raymond load cattle all the time, we had hot shots. When Papa Larry and Granny Shirley had pigs, they had hot shots. What does the goad mean? It means external stimuli. Tonight, I want you to believe that no matter where your lost family member, friend, co-worker, whatever it is you're believing for, no matter where they're at, that the Holy Spirit can stimulate them, can get their attention, can goad them, can get them and pointed in the right direction where they'll meet the right person at the right time, where they'll be in a place of providence, not in a place of lack. Amen? So let's see how the Word does that. Now remember, he said it's about his Word. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're talking about teaching. Now remember, because that's what the word lamed, it means to goad, it means to teach. Deuteronomy 4:1. Moses talking to the children here by the Spirit of God, and he says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, under the statutes and under the judgments, which I what? There's your word, that 12th letter, lamed, however you wish to say it, to teach you, to goad you, for to do them, that you may what? Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. God says, my word is settled forever in heaven. In heaven, I've got a plan. I've got an agenda. I have got a vision of a family that is blood-washed, blood-bought, walking and working in my will and my plan. He says, I see it through my son Jesus. And he says, I want you to see it. And I want you to see that by my word, you're the one that you're believing for. They can be goaded out. They can be taught out of bondage. They can be taught out of darkness. They can be brought into a place where they will live and not die. Now, this is not just to live and get by. I'm tired of seeing people just barely get by, aren't you? We serve a God who's not a God that just barely gets by. He's a God that wants to bless them in every area. Let them have peace of mind. You know, the greatest blessing in the world is to be able to have your mind one with God. That's the greatest blessing in the world. We've all had excess of things, but we were poor if we didn't have the one thing that we needed. Amen? All right, now look in here. He says, Now therefore, O Israel, I want you to hearken unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and you may go in, notice the three-step process, and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Right now, you and I, we're in a situation where we have seen our loved ones seem like they make a step forward. And maybe for a period of time, everything is going good. And we think, man, hey, this is the time. This is it. This is finally going to be the time that they overcome, that they get the victory over this. But they'll never get the victory over this unless you and I are in the place where we are being taught ourselves, where we can teach them and where we can be trained and we can train them and we can help topple the enemy. Because God said, I want them to go in and to possess the land. This word possess, it means that they've got to drive out the enemy. There's only one thing that drives out the enemy. There's only one thing that causes the enemy of God's people to bow, and that's Jesus the Word. Amen? You've got to have the Word. I've got to have the Word. And he said if you and I would take heed to what the Word said, that the Word would do it. It would cause the people to no longer just go to church, no longer just to read a Bible, but they would come into a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Amen? And so you and I have got to see how critical this is. We've got to see that we're called to teach them. Now, we're going to look at what Jesus said in just a minute, but let's look at another verse. Drop down to verse number 10. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 4 and 10. He said, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me, the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, this is your avenue. This is your confidence to be able to get into your loved one's life, to be able to get into anybody that you love's life this morning. I mean, this tonight, you've got to see that because you're willing to be taught, that God's going to use you to teach them. Right. Yes. Glory. See, the knowledge that you have, exponentially, you can put that in their life. They don't have the time that you've got. Because you and I, we believe that the coming of the Lord is sooner than it's ever been. Amen? Would you agree with that? And so, they don't have the X number of years, maybe, that you and I had. So, we've got to believe that in the time frame that we have, that we can give them by teaching them the Word of God, everything that we've learned up to now, to put them to where God would have them, where they can be a success. They can fulfill the will and the plan of God. And so, here you are tonight. You're in a place where you know that you've been taught. You know about the Lord. You know about the goodness of God. You know about how Jesus takes care of you. You know how He does all of these wonderful miracles in your life. And you can teach them. You can drop them. You can deposit them in your loved one's life. Amen? Now drop down to verse 14. It says, And the Lord commanded me, he's talking to Moses, at that time to teach, to goad, to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Now, you're in the land of promise because you're in the New Testament. You're under a new covenant, and you're in the land of promise. Everything that God has promised you, He said yes to. You're saying amen to, and you have the authorization to deposit that into somebody else. So what you do is you say, is you're praying over this person or this family, over the community, whatever it might be. You say, Lord, right now I make myself available to you. Teach me. Teach me where they're at, because I want to teach them where you would have them to be. So you can never reach somebody unless you know where they're at. And so by the Spirit of God, He can take you inside of their heart. He can show you the hurts. He can show you every attack of the enemy that you need to see, to where you can sow the seed of victory. You can sow the word of truth that will bring them out of that. Let's document it. Go over to the book of Matthew. Once again, Matthew 28, out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. You know, we're limited because all we can do is read the Word of God in English. And if we don't take time to look at certain things and to study the Word a little bit deeper, we can miss out on some truths that will help us get into the place of understanding in a deeper level. In Matthew chapter 28, we all quote these scriptures. We know them very well. Jesus says, starting in verse 18, Matthew 28, 18, He said, "Go ye therefore and..." Well, first of all, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth." He says, "Go therefore and teach." Now, mark that down in your mind's eye. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, notice, teaching them, different word, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. But let's concentrate on the first teach. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, if we're going to reach our lost loved ones, if we're going to reach our family, if we're going to reach this community, we've got to see that Jesus said, "I'm going to send you into a group of people that you think you know, but you don't know." Now, the reason why we can't reach certain people is because we've got a mind made up of where they're at and what they've been through, and we think we know all about it. We don't know. We don't know what the enemy has done to them. We see the external picture of it. But Jesus Christ, His Spirit goes inside of their heart. He sees every fracture. He sees every seed of the enemy and every hurt that has worked in them, that has caused them to bow down and caused them to come into a place of bondage, that even if you and I have went through something similar, it's still different. And so He said, "I want you to go and I want you to teach all people, all nations, all ethnos, all different people. I want you to know that I can use you to teach anybody, anytime," because this word, matheteo, in the Greek, it means the first to become a pupil. See, I can never teach anybody unless I sit down and let Jesus teach me. But He's not wanting just to teach me about myself, though I need that. He's wanting me to teach me about the nations, about where He's sending me to. So tonight, by the Spirit of God, there is going to be an anointing on you because you're willing to receive an anointing to sit down at the feet of the Master. And as you come to the place of intercession in your prayer life for different people, different families, for this community, all of a sudden, the word of knowledge is going to come up inside of you. It's going to be the word that will cause a truth to be able to be spoke out of your mouth over this person, over this family, over this community. And that word is going to be the key that brings them out of bondage and brings them into deliverance, brings them into victory. Amen? You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. You will hear tonight. Amen? God is not silent. He's talking. He is continually talking. All we've got to do is get to the place to listen. Now notice, Jesus said, He said, "I want you to know that I want you to go ye therefore and teach all nations." So if you'll make a deal with God, the deal is simply, "God, you've called me. I recognize who I am." That's just coming under the submission of Jesus Christ. And if I'll go where you send me. If you'll make that commitment, then you have the assurance that He's going to bring revelation to you. He's going to teach you. Amen? Now, do you want to see some powerful things that happen when we do that? Back up to the 27th chapter. Now, I want you to know tonight, this is how you can fulfill the prophetic word. Amen? Come on, I can fulfill the prophetic word. Say this with me. Make this agreement with me. I am trained to reign. I am trained to reign. Oh, glory, you are. You are tonight. Amen? You're not underneath. You're in Christ, so you're the head and not the tail. Amen? You've got to believe that. Now, look here at how Joseph of Arimathea, how he fulfills the word of God that was written 700 years before Jesus was even born. You can fulfill the word of God. Amen? God's no respecter of persons. All right, Matthew 27. Look at verse number, this is just after they crucified Jesus. For sake of time, look at verse 57. Matthew 27, verse 57. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now, he was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So by him doing this, he was putting himself in the natural in what looked like great harm. And so there's going to be times in your life that it looks like, hey, this is a little spooky. I'm stepping out on some things here. But that's what it takes to fulfill the Word of God. Amen? Now notice what happens. It says, he went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, and he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. Brother Ryan, put Isaiah 53:9. Isaiah 53:9. When Joseph of Arimathea had done this, he fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Think about this. 700 years before, God said, this is what's going to happen. That's what Isaiah 53 is about. It's about your redemption, your healing, your victory. My healing, my redemption, my victory. And Joseph of Arimathea gets to fulfill this verse because what? He's being taught. He is at the feet of the Master. He's not worried about what the world's saying. He's not worried about what's going on around him. He's looking to what God would have him to do. And he goes in the camp of the enemy, and he demands the body of Jesus back. Oh, come on now. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about you've got loved ones. I've got loved ones. We've got friends. They're in the enemy's camp. But the enemy does not own them. Amen? You and I, we are on a mission. Jesus said, go. Go. And I want you to teach all nations. He said, go. And if you'll go, he said, I would authorize you. I would give you the power and the authority. I would give you the ability to be able to have respect in the situation and the circumstance where you can bring the person out of that situation. Amen? That's your God. That's my God tonight. Now, think about it. We talked about it here a while back, Acts chapter 16. Now, about verse 30 and 31, when the Philippian jailer, when he asked, what must I be to be saved? Brother Corey read it this morning in Sunday school class. He simply said, what? Believe. And you shall be. He believed. And what happened? The prophetic word was always that when you get saved, your household can get saved. So did Jesus stop at just saving the jailer? He saved the whole household. Amen? So tonight, you've got to believe that Jesus is calling you to teach you at His very feet revelation, unction about who you've been praying for. See, if I'm not careful, I look at the external and I pray for the person according to what I see in the external. And unless I can get that out of my mind and put that down and let the Spirit of God start talking through me, start praying through me, my prayers do very little good. But if I can say, Lord, I recognize and realize that I'm praying out of my head knowledge. I want to pray out of Holy Ghost knowledge. I want to pray out of what you know. Because you look at the heart. You see the hurt. You see the stronghold. You see the enemy. And I asked you to teach me. Teach me what I need to pray. And when you get in that place and I get in that place, all of a sudden, miracles start happening. Now, this excites me so much to think about that Joseph of Arimathea can walk in. Now, this takes gumption. This takes anointing. But you've got the anointing tonight. Amen? You've got to believe who you serve. All right. We could look at some more situations. Let's look at one more quickly. Acts chapter 14. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. How he was taught and he taught out of his situation. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Acts 14 and 19. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Now notice what happened. And having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And what did he do? Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught, he done what Jesus said to do many, they returned again back to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Think about this. Here Paul is, he's living his Christian life by example. And he's telling them, hey, this is what Jesus can do. The devil doesn't like it when you start talking about what Jesus can do. So when you start talking about what Jesus can do, he starts bringing pressure to try to get you to change your testimony, to try to get you to back up. So no doubt Paul was teaching them, because everywhere he went, he taught in his revelation, he taught about the grace of God, he talked about the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the devil says, okay, if you really believe that, let's see if it works. And he stoned him. And there's no doubt in my mind, you can believe what you want to. I believe they killed him. And Jesus raised him up because it wasn't time for him to die. Now, I can't document that, but I can believe that, and you can't make me not. You don't have to if you don't want to. But I believe that we're going to do everything that God called us to do. I'm going to live to the very last thing written in God's book, regardless of what the devil says. Amen? And I'm going to stand on that. But I want you to see here, Paul, he said, I'm willing to live this word. Tonight, I want you to know that everything that you're standing for, you're putting authority to what God said. You're showing them. You're teaching them by example. You're telling them, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm loving you regardless of what it happens, what it looks like, no matter what the pressure of the enemy. I'm trusting God. You're not going to fail. And you don't give an opportunity for the devil to show anything else. And you just work the word. Amen? And that's what Paul did. He stood there and he knew what God had told him. And when death came, he said, no, you don't. And he rose up. Yeah. Come on, when the liar comes and your family and your prayer life and tries to change what God's promised you, you stand up. Yeah. Come on, because the God that is in you is greater than the God that's in this world. Amen? All right. So the Spirit of God was, as Don and I was praying, he said, I want you to be in the place where you're taught. And after you're taught, he said, then I can train you. See, so many times people, they don't want to spend time being taught. They want to get right into action. But we got to sit at the Master's feet, and after we sit at his feet, then we can be put into action. Now, let's look at two very familiar verses of Scripture. Let's look first, we're in the New Testament now. Let's look at Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And, of course, This here is about mothers and fathers, about obeying your parents and all of these things. But I wanted you to get the New Testament of what the Old Testament said. So let's go to Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6, I believe. So it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he or she, no gender intended, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen? Now, what I want you to concentrate on the part is train. Now, when you got born again, when I got born again, we become a child of God. I was a child of the devil, a child of the world, and all of a sudden, when God's grace touched my life, I become a child of the King. And so he started training me, just like he started training you. Now, this word train means to narrow. To narrow. In other words, all of a sudden, we went through the straight gate. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13, and 14? We don't take time to go there. You read it. But we entered through the straight gate. We're going down the narrow way. Because broad is the way that leads to... And many be there. Many. But you and I, we're in the narrow path. Because the word means to be disciplined. It means to be initiated. Now, I want you to think about that. You've been initiated in the narrow way. And God himself, by the Holy Spirit, revealing this word to you, is training you, is training me. We're on a training mission, and because we're being taught and because we're being trained, we have wisdom that the world doesn't understand. We have an anointing that the world cannot receive. We have a promise to be able to do some things. Amen? All right? So, do you want to see what happens when you're trained by God, what you can do? All right. Let's go to a little deeper in the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Abram, fixing to be Abraham, but Abram, he's the father of faith, right? And you and I, we're of that same faith. Let's look at an amazing thing, because you and I have got to get a hope tonight of what a servant of God can do. Genesis chapter 14. We won't take time to read all of this. How many is familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember Lot? He left Abram because he looked and he chose what looked good to his eyes. Now this is important for you tonight, because you need to know that just because your loved one or your co-worker or your friend or whoever you're praying for has looked and made bad decisions, that can't change the way you feel about them. It can't stop your prayers. It can't stop your heart. They may have done you wrong. Lot done Abraham wrong. But he didn't let any of that affect him. He still loved him. No doubt he was praying for him. No doubt. Because we got proof later on when judgment is fixing to come, how he was praying for him over in the 18th chapter. But I want you to see this, that as this battle of these kings happen, all of a sudden Lot, being in a bad place, a place he shouldn't have been, he gets taken captive. Now we've got family and friends, we've got loved ones, they've been taken captive by the devil. But you, because you're willing to be taught and willing to be trained, you have the ability and the authority to go into that situation, and knowing that God is going to go with you and bring them out. Yes. Amen? Amen? Notice this. It says in verse number 10, it says, "In the valley of Sodom was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain." Now look what happened. Verse 11. And the enemy here, they took the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and they went their way. Verse 12. What else did they do? And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now, you and I, we know that Scripture says that we can even make our bed in hell, but God knows where we're at. So Lot, he made his bed in Sodom, but Abram knew where he was at. And God knew where he was at because God and Abram were friends. The Bible says that Abram was a friend of God. Amen? And so he knew right where he was at. And so he's in the perfect place. Tonight, you're in the perfect place. See, sometimes we don't want to know where people's at and what they're doing. Well, I need to know. I need to be taught where I can what? I can train the situation. I can change the situation. I can bring God's will, God's plan, rather than have a free roller coaster of the enemy. Amen? All right. It says, and there came one, verse 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre. That Mamre, incidentally, is the plain of strength. That's where you dwell. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, the place of strength, because you're in Jesus Christ. In the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, who were confederate with Abram. In other words, he had some help here. And when Abram heard, verse 14, this is why we're reading all of this. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that he armed his what?
Right.
Born in his own house, 318, and he pursued them unto Dan. Now think about this tonight. Inside of Abram's house, because he was taught of God and he was trained of God, he had passed that on and he had what he needed to get the job done. Tonight, I want you to know you have what is needed to get the job done. You've got it because you're in the place of strength, not the place of weakness. You're in the place of the will and the plan of God. You're being taught. You're being trained. And so out of your teaching that God has deposited in you, out of your willingness to be trained, you are going to be able to send out the will and the plan of God and see miracles happen.
Yes.
But you've got to believe it. You've got to expect it. You've got to be looking for it. Now, think about the number of the enemy here. We have where Gideon, he took a 300-man army and went against what? Thousands. And defeated it because God was in it. It doesn't matter how big the enemy looks in your situation. You have what you need. Amen? You've got to believe it. All right. Verse 15. And he divided himself against them. In other words, he had a plan. Now think about this. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and he smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, the hiding place, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And notice what happened. And he brought back some. And he brought back all of the goods, and also brought again his brother, his nephew, Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Oh, glory. Now think about this. Abram didn't know the people. But because Abram had a love for Lot, and he was willing to be taught and trained and put that teaching and training to work, not only did it benefit Lot, but it benefit everyone that was around Lot. Come on now. You and I were so caught up, and we let the devil convince us, oh, I don't believe my loved one can be saved. Wrong. Your loved one can be saved, but not only can they be saved, but everybody that is influencing their life and that they're influencing. Because our God is greater. He's greater. He's a great saving God. Yeshua, Jesus, that's what it means. God's Savior. Amen? Now think about the power in this. Sodom and Gomorrah looking like that all of these cities along with them looking like that there were no answer. And see, the devil is trying to convince the church that the sin that's going across the world today, that there's no answer. Jesus is greater than any one sin. He's the one that not only saves us from sin, he delivers us from sin. Amen? It's not a problem.
The problem is if I don't believe God, amen, I've got to sit down and let Him teach me, let Him train me, and see what happens. You say, well, Greg, this is all fine and good, but this has nothing to do with me in Dover, Arkansas, on November the 3rd, 2019. Let's find out. Go over to the 18th chapter. Genesis chapter 18. That's right, Brother James, you're exactly right. Genesis 18, God's talking. And look what it says starting in verse 18. Genesis 18, 18. Seeing that Abraham, this is God talking about Abraham, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Abraham, faith. Faith brings blessing. All right. And notice what happens. Verse 19. For I know him. This is what God is saying about Abram. This is what God's saying about you tonight. You've got to believe it about yourself. For I know him that he will command. Come on. He will lamed. He will teach. He will goad his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. So you're a child of faith. And because you're a child of faith, you're in the place tonight that what Abraham paved the way for, being the type of the father of faith in our life, you can have it for your life. Yeah. It's yours.
Yes, it is.
Amen? It's yours tonight. So you've got to see that. Now, so we're coming in agreement with the Lord that we're going to be taught where we can teach others. We're going to be trained where we can send forth what is needed in the right time. And we know that it's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because of this Word. So when we start with that mindset and that attitude and that assurance, all of a sudden then we're ready to see the enemy toppled. We're ready to see it. Now, let's look. Let's go to the book of Acts and let's see an enemy that gets toppled in the early church. And as we look at that, we can see how it can be toppled in our own life. Now, in Acts chapter 4, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on in the church. Because in chapter 3, Peter and John, they decide to go to church. How many knows when you go to church, trouble happens sometimes? They just walk into the church house, and when they get there, they see the lame man there. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that got everybody in a turmoil. And so they find themselves beaten and in jail. And then they get brought before the council. And that's what it takes us to in this fourth chapter. And they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And there's great fear in the church. And because there's fear in the church, there is lack in the church. And when there's lack, then you know that God is not being able to do what He wants to do. Because He doesn't want you and I to lack in anything. Amen? Come on, the Bible says those who walk uprightly, Psalms 88 or whatever, lack no good thing. That's your promise. All right. So let's see what happens here. In Acts chapter 4, for sake of time, it says in verse 23 that after they've been threatened and all of these things for the glory of God, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Don't you love that? They didn't say, God, here's the problem. See, if I keep talking to God about the problem, I'm making Him think that the problem is the God, because it has the authority, it has the power, it has the attention. They didn't even mention it. They first pointed their heart toward the one that they knew that they were serving, that they were living for. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, why is that important? Because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. So they're saying, Lord, we recognize everything here that we're living in, that we're walking upon, that we're a part of. We know that you created it with your voice, with your words. You created it. And is that our assurance in the natural, how much more that we have assurance in the spiritual?
Right. Amen.
That your words are eternal. And because you're eternal, we're eternal.
Yes.
Come on now. All right. He said, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? He said, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. Now remember, you're being taught, you're being trained, and as you're being taught and trained, you're in a place where you're praying the prayer that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as you pray the prayer that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden it starts loosening the promise and the provision of heaven into your life. Amen? Now, here they are, and they're wanting to be able to send out what God has put in them. I want you to know that you've got the answer in your tongue. You've got it. Because the Holy Spirit, if when you speak by the unction of the Spirit of God, it is a creative force. And that boldness that God gives you can be given to that person that you're believing and praying for, where they can come out of being intimidated by the devil. All right. Instead, now notice what happens. So, first of all, fear falls because it gets toppled because they pray this prayer. And all of a sudden, then, it brings what? It brings faith, and faith brings healing. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, now stay with me, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Come on, the word means to waver, it means to topple. Come on, the place was shaken. Now they had went into this place in fear.
Right.
Remember, they had left because they were threatened, they were beaten, they had left. The ones who had told them not to, said you can do anything you want to do, but don't you preach, don't you teach in the name of Jesus. Come on, I can go anywhere and pray any place I want to pray as long as I don't pray. Because without the name of Jesus, my prayer will not be answered. They know that. It is ridiculous when you see on TV, when you see and they have these chaplains and they have these ministers to pray in these government situations and they don't let them use the name of Jesus. You're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath. Your force, my force, our answer is in the name of Jesus. Now, notice it says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Toppled. Everything, fear was toppled. Sickness, disease was toppled because it says that we want you to give us boldness. We want you to use us to lay hands in the name of Jesus. Those things were toppled. And look at the promise. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude, verse 32, of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that the all of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Unity. Unity. Can you imagine how the community will be touched when they see the church of God working in harmony, working in unity? Things are going to be shaken. They're going to be toppled. Now, this isn't for everybody because some people won't choose to receive it. But tonight, if you and I will choose to receive it, it is going to be a part of our everyday life. Do you believe that? Now, look what the promise, look what happened, verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, I want you tonight to think about the grace that saved you. I mean, I think about the grace that saved me and how wonderful that was. But here Paul said that grace is a measure. It's a saving grace. But I've got a grace that's going to bring revelation. See, Paul had a revelation to bring to the church. And his revelation was that God's grace, it not only saves you, but it empowers you to do what Jesus did as he walked in the earth. Great grace. Great grace. So if you can be saved and walk in that grace and then allow the revelation, because you're being taught, you're being trained, and you're allowing the enemy to topple out of your life, then you can take that same truth, that same reality into those that you're believing for. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, you know, we can... Let me read it because I might miss it. You know, we can tell somebody and they're liable to forget. We can show them and they might remember. But if we involve them, if we train them, they understand. They understand. That's why Jesus is willing to work with me. He's willing to work with you. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the reality of the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're taking us to a new place, a new level in you. And there's going to be those who have been in bondage, those who have been in a stronghold for a long period of time. They're going to be made free by you, the Son of the living God, the Savior, you, Jesus. You're going to do it. Lord, we come in agreement that we will make ourselves available to you, that we will be taught in every situation, every circumstance, we will be taught about those that we're praying for, that we're believing for, and that you will train us in a way that every enemy will be toppled out of that situation, out of that circumstance for your glory. Lord, we believe it. We stand on it. And Lord, you've seen that we got out of our comfort zone tonight and we sit in a place that we weren't comfortable. And we're believing, Lord, that the same truth that you're ministering in our lives, that it by the Spirit of God, that as an act of faith, it will go out into those that we're believing you for. We ask that you would get a host of them and that you would just give us liberty and unction and guidance to be able to do exactly what Jesus did. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, help us to see that we can have a heart that can hear, that can minister in their very circumstance of stronghold, and it can fall under the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. We ask these things, believe and we receive. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar for the person or the family or the community that you're believing for. And just thank God that you've heard by the Spirit of God tonight about His great grace. You've heard a word tonight that will empower you to be able to do what we've said tonight, to take it and administer it to people's lives. I want you to see them completely free. I want you to see them in Jesus Christ, out of their bondage, out of their addiction, out of their every stronghold and every lie. I want you to see them. Say, Lord, let me see on the other side. That way I can rejoice. See, God will give us enough to help our faith to be able to work like it's never worked before. He gives us the measure of faith, but with faith we're able to see some things that we couldn't see before. Tonight, the enemy wants to keep you and I from seeing them delivered, made free. But let's let Jesus show us what they can be in Him. Amen.